Live from Flamingo in Paradise, it's Cofield and Company from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company. On ESPN Las Vegas.
All company, no Cofield. The Adams family taking over from down here at the Silver Sevens. Candy and Hill. Another hour leading up to Thursday night football. You should get on down here to Silver Sevens. Come say hi to us before the game. Great drink specials available at the Silver and Gold Sports Bar and the Corona Cantina during the Thursday night football game, as well as during Sunday and Monday football games. 1177 Bud and Bud Light Buckets, 277 Drafts, Bud Light Shock Top, Mick Ultra, and Goose Island. Gets even better during Raiders and Golden Knights games. That's what you can get when you can get $1.77 Bud Light bottles down here at the Silver Sevens. You got the William Hill Sportsbook. All the games are up on the TVs. Friendly service down at the bar. They even treated Steve Cofield well last week, and you know that that's no small feat. So Adam Hill and I are getting ready. We're going to do the Big Five in just a minute, but Adam, a little bit of breaking news from Golden Knights' side.
Yeah, Ryan Reeves, who has been out and about all over the place. I saw him on the sideline at the Raiders game. I saw him meeting with Tyson Fury yesterday out at the before his fight. Looks like he will miss at least a portion of training camp with an injury he sustained over the summer. Not sure what the injury is, but like I said, he's looked fine. He seemed in good spirits. I talked to him at the Raiders game the other day, so don't think it's too serious. The team just said day-to-day, but certainly out for at least the start of training camp.
Yeah, that actually was announced officially by the team, so obviously a big enough deal that the team felt the need to put something out about it with training camp starting tomorrow. On to the Big Five at Four.
Battle-Borne Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Four. Number five.
In other disease news, I can't believe we're talking about this. If you ever were around a college dorm, maybe made some poor choices, maybe, you know, got a little close with some people you shouldn't have gotten a little close with, you might know a little bit about mononucleosis. Sam Darnold does, the Jets quarterback.
He does now.
I mean, he's young enough that he pretty much still could be in college at this point, and he has a disease that's typically a college kid kind of disease. Sam Darnold has mono. This story out of New York Jets camp today. I love the fact, by the way, that we can do this story while Cofield is traveling, and we can just twist this knife as deeply as possible on his New York Jets. I mean, they did a pretty good job on their own last week, blowing a 16-0 lead to your former team, the Buffalo Bills. Sam Darnold is going to be quarantined in his apartment for a period of weeks, it appears. Like, they're not going to let him outside. He's contagious. He can't get the rest of the team infected with this. I saw a great tweet today that suggested potentially the trade of Demaryius Thomas from the Pats to the Jets, that he was the carrier. That maybe Demaryius Thomas, that Bill Belichick infected Demaryius Thomas with mono and sent him to the New York Jets.
I don't think it happens that quickly.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know this.
You're not?
I don't even play one on the radio.
What are you doing here?
That's a question that many people have asked and many people will continue to ask. I don't know either. I don't understand how these things keep happening to the New York Jets. Like, the hex that is above the New York Jets is something so powerful that even when they do something right, and drafting Sam Darnold at number two was something absolutely right by the New York Jets, even when they do something right, it goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, obviously, I think the story is hilarious because mono is just funny in general. But the fact that it's the Jets is what really makes this. It, like, it's just a Jets thing. I heard the theory earlier. You said you heard, you know, the Demaryius Thomas being the carrier, like, sicked on the Jets from New England, which is funny. But, like, I heard the other theory of, you know, Joe Namath made a deal with the devil and was like, hey, you guys can win the Super Bowl, but you guys will never win again, and you'll have the weirdest things happen to you ever. And Namath's like, all right, fine with me. And that's what happened. Like, obviously, those things are all crazy, but it's so Jets. This is such a Jet story. Sam Darnold, who I actually think is going to be a good quarterback, he was awful last week. They said it wasn't because he's sick. I would love to know if that's the truth, if he was already starting to feel it, because he looked like there something was wrong. He was terrible. He was the worst quarterback in the league last week. And I think maybe this is a good – maybe he should have said, hey, it's because of the mono.
Whoa. He was worse than Jameis, in your opinion, last week? I thought Jameis was the worst quarterback by far last week.
Well, I mean, pick sixes are not really different than a regular interception. It's just kind of what happens on the end of it.
They're not – they're worth points. Of course they're different.
Right, but when you evaluate quarterbacks, it, an interception is an interception. The fact that it gets run back is worse for your team, but not worse for the evaluation.
Fair enough, although a couple of those interceptions from Jameis, I mean, you're talking about balls that were thrown directly at defenders.
Well, if you want to go by turnovers, it was Josh Allen was the worst quarterback in the league last week. He basically had six turnovers, but that's not what it is. And I would love to say Josh Allen was the worst, but he wasn't. He was somewhere in the middle of the pack. Darnold was the worst in terms of accurate throws and interceptable rate in the game. Darnold was the worst quarterback in the league last week, but I don't think that's what he is. I think he's a much better player than that. This is just hilarious in every way. Now, everybody, of course, it's the kissing disease. That's what people go by. It's much more commonly transmitted through drinking glasses, but that's not as funny. So I think to say, like, hey, it was the kissing disease, and it's a high school and college thing. Usually 16 to 20 is the age where most people get this. It's hilarious, but it's not – the real story might not be as hilarious.
The best part about this, I thought, was the Onion headline that came out after that said, Sam Darnold mono diagnosis leads Jets to outlaw kissing and huddle. Yeah, fantastic. absolutely fantastic. Jets, you be you. Number four.
Number four.
All right, you pointed out this story, so I'm not going to step on your thunder, but I'm just going to say I agree wholeheartedly that this is going to be some outstanding content.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic in every way. If you are a fan of The Office, you're going to want to check this out. It is Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, who are Pam and Angela on the show. They are going to basically be doing an episode-by-episode recap of The Office, complete with behind-the-scenes stories and, like, you know, what they were thinking at the time. I'm sure they're going to have guests on and, you know, talk about, you know, I'm sure Jim will be on the show, like all these other characters. Jim, his name's not Jim, I know.
His name is not Jim, but
Sean
why not?
Krasinski, that's
but why
fine.
Not?
I'm sure they're going to have everybody on the show. I am so in for this. And I'm, by the way, I think in my third time through The Office, maybe fourth. It's fantastic.
All right, it's time to go full sports radio. You cannot do this segment without rankings. We have to have rankings. Does The Office make your top three sitcoms?
Top three? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
the other
for
two.
Sure.
The other
well,
two being
Seinfeld is one.
Okay.
I think it's The Office and Curb Your Enthusiasm are 2, 3 in whatever order you want to put them. I think it might be two. Curb's so good. I'll put The Office at 3.
Curb is fantastic. Curb is, being on cable, that almost puts it in a different category, but...
That's true.
All right, Office is right there. I am a Scrubs devotee and have been for a very long time, and that ranks very, very highly for me. And then, God, the 3 spot just becomes so hard to figure out. I mean, I could go old, like really, really old, and say Cheers. But that makes
me
old.
Did you put Office at 1, or was Seinfeld 1? I just assume Seinfeld is 1 to everybody.
You know what? Kick the others out. It is Seinfeld. You're right.
Of course.
You're right.
Of course.
You're right. I mean, we're doing an Addams Family show about nothing. Seinfeld's a show about nothing. That had to be it. All right. That's our top 3 for that. Let's go to number 3.
Number 3.
I am old enough to remember when Jerry Colangelo owned a professional basketball team. I remember when the Phoenix Suns were the Colangelos. I remember when Jerry Colangelo basically ran downtown Phoenix. I remember when he cared about the players on his team and how they played professional basketball in the NBA. Now Jerry Colangelo is an old man yelling at a cloud because he said that he's going to remember when it's time to put the 2020 Olympics roster together which players from the USA decided to be in on this FIBA mess. And, of course, the USA is exactly where we expected, done and out.
Well, not out yet.
Well,
they're out of medal contention.
They're out.
If they're playing.
If you don't win a medal, you're out.
Tomorrow, they're going to play for either 7th or 8th place, depending on the outcome.
And as we know, everyone in America loves to say, we're number 7, baby! Woo!
I mean, I think in the actual world standing right now, we're way lower than 7. But from a basketball perspective, we certainly should be number 1.
So Jerry Colangelo, who, of course, wants us to be number 1, USA, baby, said that he's going to remember when it comes time to put the roster together who bailed on playing in this useless FIBA tournament.
Right, he runs USA Basketball, and of their original player pool for this tournament, 35 selected players to play in the tournament, only 4 competed. And what happened was you got a very average team that got beat. Now, the anger that he's displaying here is so insane. As you said, man yelling at cloud, it's crazy. He said, I can only say you can't help but notice and remember who you thought you were going to war with and who didn't show up. I'm a firm believer that you deal with the cards you're dealt. All we could have done, and we did it, is get the commitments from a lot of players. So with that kind of a hand, you feel reasonably confident that you're going to be able to put a very good representative team on the court. No one would have anticipated the pullouts we had. Okay, a lot of people would have.
Everyone anticipated the pullouts you had.
Everyone anticipated that. Now, again, what he's saying is we had a program where you commit to playing and then all these guys committed and then didn't play. I get why he's frustrated, but like you're basically threatening these dudes. Do you ever want them to play for you?
First of all, old man Jerry Colangelo clearly does not understand, I guess, what you're calling yourself, your generation of millennials. You people like nothing better than to make plans and bail on them. That's pretty much like a hallmark of the generation, right?
What, of my millennials?
Of your millennials. You make plans. You say, of course I'll be there. Yep, no problem. And then either you ghost it completely or you text like half an hour late and you're like, yeah, not going to make it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, according to the players on the USA basketball team who basically sent a text to Jerry Colangelo, assuming Jerry Colangelo can read text, that just says, JK, LOL, not coming.
So wait, now are you taking his side now?
No, I'm kind of just setting up this whole thing that Jerry Colangelo does not understand anything about this, and he's a hypocrite, because Jerry Colangelo, who understood young athletes, who was the owner of the Phoenix Suns, if his best player, if Amari Stoudemire, Kevin Johnson, Dan Majerle, any of these guys pulled out back in the day, he would have been like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get hurt. Don't get hurt going and playing in some useless FIBA tournament so that come the season, you're going to be not ready to play like a Jason Tatum hurting his ankle, you know, going up against some version of Giannis Antetokounmpo in Greece.
I would love to go back and see times that he said that, because I know that you're just saying, like, that's probably what his feeling was. I'm sure that's what his feelings
Guaranteed.
Were. I'm sure that they were. But I would love to go back and find those times when he said, you know, I'm glad I don't want my players playing, because I'm sure he didn't want his players playing.
Of
when
course
he, was,
he didn't.
When he was in an ownership side, and now he's on the USA basketball side. He's like, these kids and not showing up when they said they're going to show up. It's completely hypocritical. You're right. But I, like, be happy with the guys that are playing and go find a way to win in the Olympics and don't threaten them when they're not showing up, because the Olympics is the more important tournament. I know that they wanted to keep the win streak and everything else and continue the pride of USA basketball. All those things are great, but the Olympics are what matters to people, and you don't want to alienate some of these guys from not showing up at the Olympics next year.
When Paul George knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm ready to play, if Anthony Davis slides through and says, you know what, I want to be in on the Olympics, old man Jerry Colangelo better not be standing like a bouncer at the door with his list, you know, with his pencil out saying, looks like you weren't at FIBA. Check, you're out.
Paul George is the interesting one because he actually did get hurt playing for USA Basketball.
I know. That's why I picked it out. I thought it was the best example of all.
It's perfect.
All right, so I could keep talking about this, but I love the top two in today's Big Five so much that we're going to move on to number two.
Number two.
Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears when Khalil Mack fell from the heavens and was gifted onto his roster a week before the season last year in the inaugural, but only clearly the first of many versions of John Gruden, what the hell are you doing? Khalil Mack arrived right before the season. Vic Fangio put together one of the best defenses in the NFL last year. He, of course, is now the head coach of the Denver Broncos, and he was asked, because his team is playing the Chicago Bears this week, what it was like for him when he found out that Khalil Mack was going to be showing up like a Christmas present in August for his team. Here is Vic Fangio.
I didn't know a lot about him other than I knew he was a good player, because when he came out in college, out of college, we were drafting very late in the first round in San Francisco at the time. So they said, don't even bother watching him. So I didn't watch him as a collegiate. And with him in Oakland and me in the NFC, I really didn't see him play a lot. And then when we got him, and it was just after a few days, it was like, you know, holy s***.
And that, friends,
I guess you got to bleep it a little bit, but
yeah, there you go. You do have to bleep it a little bit. That, friends, is Vic Fangio, the common man. That is the one time that you can feel like I understand the NFL as well as an NFL head coach, because all of us saw that trade and went, holy bleep.
Yeah, and saw him play, and we're like, whoa, okay, this guy. It's one of those guys that if you ever got him on your team, you would certainly never let him go, right?
I have to think that if you brought
what
me in...
What team would let him go?
I don't know. I mean, I would say, let's just say hypothetically, you gave me a contract of indeterminate length. Let's just say 10 years. You gave me a 10-year contract to run a franchise and said, give me one player to build that franchise around. I think I would want, let's see, I would want a player who doesn't cause any headaches off the field, first of all, because why would I need that coming into a brand new franchise? I would probably... All right, if I could have a quarterback, I'd take a quarterback, but if I couldn't have a quarterback, I would want someone who wrecks quarterbacks. That's the kind of guy I'd build around. What about you?
Well, I would build around a guy that stops people from wrecking quarterbacks would be my first choice. But certainly, yes, somebody who can disrupt every play, and as you said, somebody who's not going to be an issue off the field. That sounds like a guy I would want.
You know, I am really impressed. I think you and I could build a great franchise together. I think that... Starting with Khalil Mack. If you gave me the... Look, in all seriousness, if someone had come in and give me an expansion draft opportunity last year with the Raiders and said, you're going to be building essentially from scratch, then, yeah, I'm choosing Khalil Mack. Contract aside, I don't care that I have to give him a mega contract. You and I had the discussion... We argued over whether Jared Goff should get the money that Jared Goff got, $27.5 million a year.
Last week. Oh,
Jared Goff was... All right, for those of us who defended Jared Goff last week, it was not our finest hour watching him play against Carolina.
No.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
He was terrible, and we're going to talk about how bad Cam Newton was in that game also last week, but Jared Goff was worse. And so we look at what you would have had to pay Khalil Mack. Let's just say you have to take a $30 million cap hit on Khalil Mack, which is close to what the Bears will have to deal with next year. Fine. No problem, because that is the linchpin of my defense. I can be weaker at linebacker and weaker in the back four if I have Khalil Mack up front wrecking quarterbacks and forcing double teams. It makes everything else easier. I know, we're beating a horse that has been dead since last August, but you have to when Vic Fangio is the one who comes out this week and says, holy bleep, that's exactly what we all thought.
Wait, has the horse been dead, or was the horse taking drugs and not having the test results?
I was saving Justify for tomorrow because it's just such an unbelievable story in a two-hour show. I don't know that we have time to get to it. And I wanted Mark McMillan, a professional athlete, to be able to talk about the equine professional athlete that is Justify and the fact that we have now shattered all of our illusions of just how clean horse racing really is. That the Triple Crown winner was doped up on all sorts of crap. Yeah, you know what? Let's just save that for tomorrow. I can't even get into that. I want to talk about happy things. Let's get to number one.
Number one.
Oh, Marshawn.
You said this is the best Marshawn.
Retirement Marshawn is the best Marshawn. To set it up for you, if you haven't seen this all the way through, I'm going to tell you that by the time we go to break, you're going to be diving for your YouTube app to just type in Marshawn Lynch Canada, and you're going to come up with Marshawn Lynch sampling Canadian snack foods.
What are Canadian snack foods? I think it's just Tim Hortons donuts.
if he sampled Tim Hortons donuts, I don't think you would have any problem here because Marshawn would be thrilled about it. Okay, you know all about Marshawn and Skittles. It's that. Speaking of things that happened, beaten to death. Marshawn's doing a little promo hit with DAZN, and he rolled up in Canada. What kind of car was it? It's big SUV.
Okay.
Steve Nash gets out of the front seat, opens the back seat, and the rainbow floods out. I mean, Skittles come flooding out of the back of the car before Marshawn Lynch walks out. So now we have a second promo video that comes out of this, and some poor young guy for DAZN has to sit there at a table and just put random Canadian snack foods in front of Marshawn Lynch and get Marshawn's reaction as he tries different foods. And Marshawn, let's just say in general, is not having it. Like, Marshawn's playing along because he's getting paid, but with a lot of these foods, Marshawn is not having it. We have a number of audio cuts here. The first one here is just the setup.
I know you're a candy enthusiast, mostly Skittles, but we figured you came up to Canada, so let's get you to taste test some candies that you can't get south of the border. So we're going to pull out some pretty unique Canadian candy.
Hey, y'all know I like food too, right? Chicken, you know, I like steak and shit, mashed potatoes, little cheddar and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, we know. Oh, we know. See, I got to laugh out of Adam
candy.
Already.
Because candy.
Because we're off to a very good start here with Marshawn. Okay, there's the setup. Marshawn Lynch would like you to have given him some chicken steak, mashed potatoes with cheddar. Instead, he got this.
First thing, have you ever had ketchup chips?
Ketchup chips?
Yeah, I don't know why. Ketchup tomatoes are not unique to Canada, but for some reason, the chips are pretty unique to Canada. Do you want to give one of those a try?
Nah, we could do without these.
Without the ketchup chips?
Yeah, sorry. Don't take it personal. I got strong taste buds.
I got strong taste buds. Marshawn does not want the ketchup chips. All right.
Ketchup chips sound awful.
I would give ketchup chips a try. No. Why not? No. What's the difference between a ketchup chip and dipping a fry in ketchup?
Very different.
According to you. All right. What else did Marshawn try?
Got another chocolate bar for you. Crispy.
Man, this ain't like that last shit you gave me, is it? I like this one.
You like that one?
Yeah. I like this. I like this one better than that other shit you tried to give me.
And you missed the fact that the first chocolate bar that Marshawn tried came right after the ketchup chips. He basically spat the thing out. Like, he tried to take it and just throw it to the side.
But he makes it very clear in this clip that he didn't like the first.
That's what I'm saying. Marshawn is not having these potato chip and chocolate bar frauds that have been foisted upon him in Canada. What else did Marshawn try?
Smarties, another Canadian classic.
This motherfucker got compartments.
Yeah.
This made up here?
It's I don't know where it's made, but it's pretty unique to Canada.
Y'all these candies are like next level shit. You gotta do a lot to get to the shit though. They like M&M's. These could stay.
I think they're better than M&M's.
You probably will say some shit like that.
All right, you looked at it like Smarties are not unique to Canada.
No, Smarties are. I thought they were very American.
Apparently, it's one of those things like, I don't know, like Shania Twain that I didn't even know was Canadian. I just thought it was in a part of our lexicon.
Is it a different kind of, is it a different Smartie?
I saw the picture. It did not come in the tube, right? It was not just like the little tube.
Well, he said you've
got
to do a lot to get to it.
Well, because he also, and to that end, he had been given a Kinder Egg where you had to like open the plastic, which he took the plastic egg and tapped it on the table and tried to open it like a real egg. And the guy was like, no, you don't open it that way. You're like, what? And then he opens the egg, and he's like, oh, so you got to get inside the chocolate to get to the other plastic. He's like, look, I'm just used to you take the toy, you throw right in the Happy Meal, and you get it right out of there. All right, we got one more from Marshawn.
Let's see what these hickory sticks talking about. You know what I mean? If I'm sober, then they probably ain't going to work. But if I'm a little bit loaded, and they probably get the job now.
Pick your sticks.
But hold on, why you ain't taste none of this shit? You put in it?
I'm from here. I mean, I can get these all the time.
I bet. Well, I'm gonna drink in case you decided to put something in there. This Hennessy.
Yeah, we cut it off right before the fact that Marshawn was drinking Hennessy throughout to try to swallow down.
To wash it down?
Swallow down these snacks. The hickory sticks were like these weird potato chip looking things. And Marshawn was like, look, only if I'm drunk. I can't eat this crap otherwise.
Well, he should be by this time. If he's washing everything down with Hennessy, he should be a little loaded.
I mean, he referred to one of the snacks as like, yeah, I could try some of this only if I was going to go out and do some hood rat S like right afterward. I just encourage you, if you need to feel a little bit better about the world, if you're a Raiders fan feeling like, ah, I'm worried about Jonathan Abram, things aren't going well, I'm worried about I'm legitimately worried about Shea Theodore with everything he's gone through. Like, I'm just worried about things. These 8 minutes of Marshawn will restore your faith in laughter.
Already did. We only needed a couple clips, and we're good.
I'm just telling you, it is absolutely fantastic stuff. We're down here at Silver Sevens before Thursday Night Football. Get on down here to the Silver and Gold Bar. We got drink specials, Bud Light. Got draft specials as well. We're getting ready for the first of, I can't believe we're already fully in the rhythm of Thursday Night Football, kicking off our, four straight days of football? Fantastic. Silver Sevens is a great place to get it started here with Cofield and Company.
The Big Five at Four. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers.
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag. Brought to you by the Golden Nugget Las Vegas.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it. Oh, no.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield Company from out here at Silver Sevens, getting ready for Thursday Night Football. Drink specials, Bud Light. Get on down here, enjoy the game with us, with your fellow local football fans. William Hill Sportsbook as well. We don't have a whole lot of time for this grab bag. Let's jump right in.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Inside the grab bag today, Adam Hill, are tacos.
Sure.
It is taco,
as usual.
It is not Taco Tuesday.
Taco Thursday?
It is Taco Thursday, and I think maybe, just maybe, LeBron should try to trademark Taco Thursday.
Are we allowed to say Taco Thursday?
If LeBron trademarks it, don't you think that this could become a thing?
Sure. Okay. But it just doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't, and Taco Tuesday sounds great, and enough people have said it that that's why LeBron was not able to get the trademark for it. In today's news of futility from the start, LeBron never had a chance to actually get this Taco Tuesday trademark, and the U.S. Patent and Trade Office has unfortunately had to use taxpayer dollars and man hours to reject the application.
Well, we were discussing it yesterday in our legal segment, and there was a possibility just because you can claim it in different areas. Now, he was only claiming Taco Tuesday as the name of a podcast, and so that's an entertainment usage. And the Taco Tuesday that right now is trademarked by Taco John's, which is in the food area, and we believe the merchandising area, which may have been a problem for LeBron as well, in that if he wanted to sell like shirts and other things from his Taco Tuesday podcast, they may already have the rights to the merchandising at Taco John. So, yeah, it is a common phrase, so it's going to be very difficult. And in the end, he loses. Good job, good effort, I guess.
That's pretty much all you could say, right? Like, I mean, this sounds like one of those ideas, like, you rip your groin apart, and you're sitting there going crazy in your own house for a few months, and you're like, what can I do? Like, I'm going to trademark Taco Tuesday. It's brilliant!
Right now, he's all over on an Instagram, so that's his Instagram. Taco Tuesdays are great, and assume we'll see the podcast, you know, and hear what he has to say on there, but you can just feel free to use it, just like you can Redskins. We know that. They don't have their trademark, so go ahead and make whatever merchandise you want.
And hey, for a while, Golden Knights, too. Back in the grab bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Did you see this story about the kid who got bullied for his homemade University of Tennessee football shirt?
Yeah.
You saw this. Well, the university has now responded, and they are going over the top for this fourth grader. They have decided that this fourth grader will get, as long as he meets entrance requirements, a full ride to the University of Tennessee when his time comes. I feel like this is going to take a little too long because, given the state of the Tennessee football program, this kid might get put on scholarship right now.
Yeah.
If he got in the door,
can
don't you think?
Throw? Can he saying, run? Like, what can he do? Can he help him out?
Can he punt? Like, can he do anything? Like, anything this kid could do would get him onto this terrible Tennessee football team.
My first thought is, how great would it be if this kid, again, the kid, you know, he made his own Tennessee shirt and was bullied and It was an awful, awful story to hear, but it was very cool for Tennessee to step up. I would love if the kid was like, I don't want to go there.
You know,
he's like, I'm good, I'll pass.
Be even better if he's like, I really want to go to Bama.
Yeah, really? He's great. Just, like, you know what? I saw what happened. I'll go to Georgia State. I saw what they did.
Let's go to Georgia State.
But I hope, since we were talking about The Office earlier, that this is not like a Scott's Tots situation. Where, like, the kid gets to his senior year of high school and Tennessee's like, yeah, we really didn't
I'm sorry. We really never thought this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible. My God. The grab bags brought to you by the Golden Nugget. Ion Gaming coming up. We're going to talk to Brad Powers about the weekend coming up in college football. Some big line moves that happened. Circa, of course, is getting those lines out early these days. And we're going to talk to Brad Powers about that in just a minute here on Cofield Company.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
Cofield and Company wrapping up an abbreviated edition from down here at Silver Sevens. Thursday night football is on the way. Tampa Bay and Carolina head on down here for drink specials. William Hill Sportsbook, get those wagers in. Silver and Gold Sports Bar has drink specials, Bud and Bud Light buckets, as well as drafts. Get on down here and enjoy it with us. Going to switch over to the college gridiron here, though, in the Eye on Gaming. Talk to the lead college football analyst for pregame, our friend Brad Powers. Brad, how you doing?
Excellent. How are you guys doing on this fine Thursday?
We're doing all right, and for me, that's largely because my Saturday wagering slate has not gotten going. Last week, I will say personally, was a bit challenging. I think I'm going to hate Nebraska for a while to come here. But we'll start out actually with the Friday games this week and head down to Houston for this Wazoo and Houston game. Washington State opened up a 10-point favorite, 9 in a lot of places. Total, last I saw, up to 75.5 with Washington State. Theoretically a neutral field at NRG Stadium, but of course it is in Houston. What are you seeing with this one?
First and foremost, I'm with you on the Nebraska. That was my biggest bet last week, so it kind of powered my whole day.
Yeah.
But as far as this one goes, you know what? I think it's a little expensive on the Washington State side. I mean, Houston, to me, a little bit misleading final last week. They put their offense away at halftime, and they were up 34-10 against an FCS opponent and basically did nothing in the rest of that game. So I think that creates a little bit of value on Houston. And right now, I mean, current line, actually, I mean, there's money coming in on the under. It's down to 73.5. Guys, I don't understand that. You don't have to worry about weather. It's going to be a fast track at NRG. The Washington State hasn't missed a beat offensively, even has to replace their quarterback. And De'Aaron King on the other side is about as good as it gets at the Group of Five level at quarterback. I like the over 73.5.
I just want to ask about the quarterback real quick. And from this perspective, I know you watch a lot of college. Gardner Minshew is a guy not a whole lot of people know about. What did you think of him as a quarterback now that he's going to be a starter in the NFL?
Well, I was surprised with his performance last week because, I mean, I thought he was probably appropriately drafted in the sixth round because there's always the question marks when you got a guy coming out of Mike Leach's system, whether it be Texas Tech or Washington State. I mean, more system quarterbacks. No matter who's behind center, they're always having great production at that position. So I was a little bit concerned, and he only started 1 year at Washington State. He did have experience going back to East Carolina. I mean, through one game, so far so good, but I'm a little bit worried now that there's tape on him. And keep in mind, Jacksonville at that point was already throwing from behind, and KC, not known as a great defense and playing a lot of prevent. My expectations, let's just put it, aren't very high for Minshew for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, there you go. I don't think we would talk about Kansas-Boston College if it wasn't a Friday game. If it was buried on a Saturday slate, it would just be one of those nondescript games. But any thoughts on this one? With Kansas had a couple of home games against inferior opponents, they came out 1-1, which for them is like a very successful season at this point.
Well, not really, because, I mean, they were about a touchdown favorite last week against Carolina. And losing that game, I mean, it's just same old Kansas. Doesn't matter who's coaching there. When you really don't value your football program, when it's all about basketball, that's what you get there. And, you know, on the other side, the worry that I'd have if I wanted a Kansas plus 21 ticket, usually I don't want to lay three touchdowns with Boston College, but Boston College, stylistically, under Steve Adazio, I mean, they're kind of like wear you down, kind of like Wisconsin, and they can only be up like, you know, 10, 14 points in the fourth quarter, but they rip off a couple of long runs, and that's my expectation here, Eileen BC.
Talking to Brad Powers from pregame league college football analyst. And Brad, I want to get to one of these teams that I think is going to be an interesting curiosity for a lot of people after a couple of weeks, just because of the attention they've drawn. That's Maryland. They had last week the most lopsided victory for an unranked team over a ranked team in 20 years. And say what you will about Syracuse, and there's plenty you could say about Syracuse after that game. Maryland now started as a 4-point favorite at Temple, immediately up to 7, 6.5 some places. Total also blew up quickly, 59.5 up to 66, 66.5. Do you think what we saw for last week from Maryland says more about who Maryland really is, or is it more about that we had Syracuse a little bit overrated?
Good question. I mean, the data size is probably too small yet at this point with only two games in, although, I mean, and I don't put much into it, but I guess you got to now look back at week one for Maryland when they, you know, beat Howard 79-0 and say, hey, this might be a pretty good offense for the Terps. At least they've shown it so far, and they finally figured out the quarterback spot. They have a transfer, Josh Jackson from Virginia Tech. Keep in mind, last couple years, several years, Maryland's been dealing with quarterback injuries where they've had to play 3-4 different quarterbacks in the same season. So I've upgraded Maryland more than any team in the entire country. 8 points after just two games. And I'm still short on this number. So my pure power ratings say this line should be closer to like 5. I'm going to lean with Temple, but I'm not going to have a huge bet on Temple at this point because maybe it just I haven't, you know, upgraded Maryland enough. Maybe the reality is Maryland is a top 25 team, and they are going to be that one team that's one of the biggest surprises in college football this year.
You talk about, you know, what do you do with a result like that, and now you might have to look at it, you know, being real because they kind of backed it up a little bit. What have you – I know they don't play this week, but what have you done with Wisconsin, who has looked so good 2 weeks in a row, but we're not really sure what that level of competition has been?
Great point. So, I mean, they haven't given up a point. It doesn't get much better than that. And, I mean, they've outscored their opponents 110-0. So, 4 points, you know, half as much as Maryland. Although, I'll caveat this. I already was higher on Wisconsin than the marketplace to begin with. So that's why I haven't been as aggressive with their power rating. I'm going to be really intrigued to see what that line is because both teams are off this week, Michigan and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's going to be at home. And my pure power rating says Wisconsin should be like a -3 or -4 favorite at this point. And I'm seeing look-ahead lines at like Westgate and Michigan's the favorite. I think I'm going to have a Wisconsin ticket in my pocket come next week.
Yeah, as a Michigan fan, I will too. That's probably a promise on that one. Not a whole lot of marquee games necessarily this week, but I think a very intriguing game from a betting standpoint is Oklahoma and UCLA. I'm already willing to admit I was wrong. I was kind of high on UCLA, not as like a contender or anything, but, man, they have not really been good at all. And I know Dorian Thompson-Robinson, local kid, a lot of people cheering for him, but just hasn't really worked out with Chip Kelly right now. So what do you do with this game? And if you do like Oklahoma, can you possibly bet it when you know that the look-ahead line and the preseason line in games of the year were so low and now you got to lay 24 points?
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about Maryland being a huge upgrade. The biggest downgrade for me in my power ranks has been UCLA. And even with downgrading the Bruins a touchdown after two games, I mean, and I was actually higher in the marketplace on Oklahoma at the start of the season. I can only get this line at like 17. I mean, this line looks inflated to me. And it's only the fifth time that UCLA, forget 23.5, it's only the fifth time in the last 40 years UCLA has been a two-touchdown or more underdog at home. They have covered the previous four times. And I think with the entire market throwing UCLA in the trash, what the heck? I'll lean with the Bruins here, plus the points.
Let's stay in the Big 12 for a minute and go with this Iowa-Iowa State matchup that started out with Iowa State favored by a point, flipped over to Iowa now, anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5. This is an interesting game for me. This is a big physical Iowa team, and this is a game that we were talking to some folks in Iowa and saying this might be the most anticipated, the most heated version of this rivalry that goes back years that they've seen. Do you think that Iowa going on the road, do you think that their game will translate in Ames?
Well, Iowa on the road's been really good, especially in the favorite role. And I just tweeted this out earlier. Last 18 times, Iowa's been a road favorite. They are 16-1-1 against the spread. That's pretty remarkable. With that being said, I'm on the Cyclones here. Money line. I think they win the game. And I don't think, generally speaking, and sometimes it's, you know, okay to be a fan of college football, and I don't think the market grasps how big of a deal it is that ESPN's College Game Day is going to Ames, Iowa for the first time ever. Last year it was at Washington State against Oregon, and Washington State boat raced Oregon right off the start. It was like 20-0 before you could blink. I don't think that's the case in this one, but I do think, I mean, that campus is going to be really energized. And I also think there's two other quickly mispricing. Number one, when Iowa State took off at the end of last year, it was with Brock Purdy, a quarterback. He didn't play in last year's Iowa game. And also, I think the market downgraded Iowa State too much from that close win over Northern Iowa in week one. Keep in mind, Iowa State's off a bye. People think, oh, Northern Iowa, who the heck is that? Well, the reality is Northern Iowa is a top 10 FCS team, and they're power rated higher than 20 or 30 FBS teams at this point. I like Iowa State outright.
All right, let's get into a bit of lightning round here with you and go over to UNLV and Northwestern.
Yeah, tough backing Northwestern off in a big favorite role, but they are off a bye, and obviously didn't like what I saw from UNLV. Just a slight lean for me on the Wildcats.
USC looked better than we thought, I think, with Keaton Slovis at quarterback. BYU, I have no idea what to make of Tennessee at this point. What do you have with USC and BYU?
Yeah, I like BYU here. I don't trust Clay Helton. I don't trust the true freshman making his first start on the road. I like BYU there, plus the points.
Brad, great, great stuff. Anything that we missed that you're really liking this week?
Yeah, you know, I'll give you one. Virginia against Florida State. First time Virginia's ever been favored over Florida State. Usually I'd say, hey, I got to auto bet Florida State. I'm not. I'm on the opposite. I don't trust Willie Taggart, the head coach. I don't trust this Florida State roster because I think Virginia is going to punch them in the mouth. And what I've seen from Florida State so far this season against Boise State and UM Monroe, when things go wrong, multiple things go wrong with Florida State. That's going to be the case on Saturday night. Virginia crushes the Seminoles.
There you go. Brad Powers, where can people check out your stuff?
Yeah, just go to pregame.com. I mean, obviously, we got all the podcasts up there. You can listen to daily straight out of Vegas on SiriusXM Channel 83 and right there locally with you guys.
Brad, we appreciate the time. We will see you down the line.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right. We appreciate it. Out here at the Silver Sevens for Thursday Night Football. Get on down here for drink specials tomorrow. We are at the Golden Nugget. Mark McMillan will join us. Cofield will be with us from Illinois as he gets ready for UNLV and Northwestern football. We appreciate you tuning in to the Adams Family Edition, all company here on Cofield Company today. Good luck out there.